Palestinian resistance to the occupation has been both nonviolent and violent. Some of the violent resistance has been aimed at Israeli soldiers and civilians in the occupied territories, and some has been spilling over into Israel proper in the form of suicide bombers.
Scene of chaos and destruction, rescue workers rushing to search for the living among the carnage. The center had been packed. It was just before the Jewish Sabbath. Now shoppers lay dead on the street, victims of a suicide bomber. This woman came looking for her loved ones, not knowing if they were alive or dead. There was no mercy here today, no thought about the baby inside this pushchair, but the infant did survive the slaughter.
This was a devastating attack on innocent civilians, and Israelis have reason to fear more days like this. Islamic extremists say they have other suicide bombers who are ready and waiting to do just what this one did.
I was very close to the pizzeria bombing in Jerusalem in August of last year, and I got there, you know, faster than the police did. And I saw an Israeli baby without a head, a woman with a chair leg sticking out of her chest. My reporting, for example, I'm pretty brutal about suicide bombers. I call them wicked. And I say that, I use the word. But I also make a point of saying, why?
When you have a population that is being occupied, when their fundamental human rights are being systematically denied, when they're not allowed to move from city to city or from place to place without huge amount of harassment, when they're being subject to torture, when people are essentially in desperate conditions, it's not a surprise that they're going to be very, very, very angry.
They feel so helpless in the face of a powerful Israeli army that some Palestinians think the only answer, and I condemn this, but some Palestinians think the only response to a powerful army is a guerrilla tactic going into Israel and setting bombs off in cities. And there's increasing support for this among Palestinians because of the growing frustration of not getting anywhere.
They're doing it with horrible means. It's something inhuman. I totally condemn it. But we have to understand that these are the effects of the occupation.
In the non-American coverage, BBC, for example, the suicide bombings are generally put in the context of the occupation, that they are a response to conditions which are very dehumanizing to Palestinians and against which they are defenseless.
The attack, a reply to Ariel Sharon's devastating airstrikes. We found the bomber's family in their modest house near Bethlehem. Not militants or gunmen, just ordinary people.
Ariel Sharon has made good on his threat of a huge military offensive.
And this may be the only result. More Palestinian attacks, not less. A suicide bombing in this supermarket today. Just what Sharon is trying to stop. But all the tanks in the world are no substitute for a political settlement. Today's bomber was not prepared to wait. Here, a brief glimpse of her face. Not a hardened fighter, but a girl of 16.
But there is absolutely no understanding on the part of the American media, and hence on the part of the American population that's educated by that media, about what creates this circumstance.
MSNBC investigates the mind of a suicide bomber. So hard for us to understand why they would be willing to sacrifice their lives in this way.
Israel occupies. People strike at Israel against that occupation. They use means that I think are wrong means, namely the terror, and then Israel imposes punishment on the entire Palestinian people, which then generates a climate in which it's much easier for the terrorists to recruit.
Praying when we arrived, the men who believe in suicide bombings, all are senior militants, the kind Arafat has promised to arrest. They kept their guns by their sides for our meeting.
The Israeli security cabinet has agreed to still further intensify its operations in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. It's difficult to see, though, how such a move can fail to provoke still more Palestinian attacks.
In contrast to the international press, in American media, there's a reversal of cause and effect in that the occupation is framed as a response to suicide bombings.
The Israelis moved into the occupied territories to root out the suicide bombers.
The Israelis are now stationed in force all over the West Bank, their iron grip designed to prevent suicide bombers getting through.
And it's true that, you know, Israelis do feel insecure, and they have very good legitimate reasons for feeling insecure. But overwhelmingly, reporters will see the source of the insecurity they feel as Palestinian hatred, is a word that you see all the time. That this conflict isn't motivated by a struggle over power or over land or territory, but simply by Palestinian hatred.
A Palestinian man emerged from a taxi on a busy shopping street in downtown Jerusalem with a machine gun in his hands and hate in his eyes.
If the occupation is invisible, as it's been rendered by how the United States government looks at this and how that's echoed in the media in many cases, then the reason for the frustration seems nonsensical, and therefore they're just inherently upset people or violent people and so on. It's either in their genes or in their culture.
Neither the best intention of the Saudis nor the power of the Israelis could stop another young zealot willing to die so he could kill Jews on Passover.
It's spun in such a way so as to justify Israeli occupation.
Israeli soldiers say their actions are justified. They use suicide bombers, he said. We use tanks.
Yes, Israelis are being shot at and killed. And so, yes, Israel does have real defense needs. At the same time, defense in Israel, in particular, has become this mantra. And once people hear the word defense, they stop thinking. And so, all too often, anything can be called defense and then justified.
Israeli bulldozers and tanks moved into the refugee camp at 2 in the morning. 2 hours later, 54 Palestinian homes had been flattened. The raid was widely seen as retaliation for the deaths of 4 Israeli soldiers yesterday.
Israel is always cast itself, and is always cast by the media, as reactive, as simply responding to Palestinian aggression. Israel strikes back against terror. Israel retaliates. Israel responds. Palestinians attack. Israel retaliates.
A day of Palestinian attacks and Israeli retaliation.
Israel resumed its retaliation.
Violence could escalate over the coming days as Israel retaliates.
Calling Palestinian actions attacks and Israeli actions retaliation is meaningful. Retaliation suggests a defensive stance in response to violence initiated by someone else. It places a responsibility for the violence on the party provoking the retaliation. In other words, Palestinian violence, like suicide bombings, is seen as aggression and thus as the cause and the origin of the conflict. Since the September 11th attacks on the U.S., Israel's PR strategy has been to frame all Palestinian actions, violent or not, as terrorism. To the extent that they can do that, they've repackaged an illegal military occupation as part of America's war on terrorism.
This is Israel's war on terrorism. F-16s hit a Palestinian police station in the Gaza Strip this morning.
The case the Israelis are trying to make, this is no different than what the U.S. is doing in Afghanistan.
Prime Minister Ariel Sharon declared on national television tonight that he was determined to root out what he called the terrorist infrastructure in the Palestinian territories.
Terror, terror, ve'od terror.
Israeli Prime Minister Sharon said his nation has taken many steps to cooperate in the search for peace, but the only thing it's had in return is terrorism, terrorism, and more terrorism.
Israel has made Americans empathize with its position by linking itself emotionally to Americans' 9/11 experience, making a connection where there really isn't one. It's been breathtaking how American journalists have allowed themselves to be manipulated in this way.
A New York delegation toured suicide bombing sites in Israel today. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani said the people of Jerusalem and New York City stand shoulder to shoulder against terrorism.